Good morning, everyone. No, I'm not up here to talk about our senior minister search, I promise. Actually, Ron was on vacation this past week, and I kind of have a funny story for you. He's been trying to get me up here for quite some time now, I think. And back in January, we were at one of our leadership meetings, and we were having a conversation. I can't remember exactly what we were talking about at the time. But we were having a conversation, and I think it was something with the budget or money or something, because Harold and I were discussing something back and forth. And I forgot to bring it with me today, but Ron jotted a note down on a post-it note, just a little yellow post-it note, and he slides it over to me. And, I read the note thinking it's something important as to what we're discussing and what we're talking about. And I look at the note and look up, and Harold looks at me as if I have something else I want to add at that point, and I'm going, well, this really isn't necessarily something I need to add right now, but it just simply said Jonathan, and it had my name under it underlined for whatever reason. Will you preach for me on March the 15th? So I stuck it in my paperwork and tried to carry on the conversation, but it was kind of funny because I think Harold was expecting me to say something that Ron had shared with me, and I had nothing else to say. But I'm really excited to be able to be up here today and spend some time talking. And what I want us to be able to do today is I want to spend some time talking about the power of the Word of God. And I want us to challenge ourselves on all the things that we prioritize in our life, all the things that take our attention away, and see if we can seek to put God first behind these priorities. So I want to share some truths with you today. The average American that classifies themselves as a Christian attends church 1.6 to 1.8 times a month. Does that surprise any of you? And to add to that startling statistic, nearly half of all Christians in America define discipleship as simply inviting someone to church with you. And I don't know where we got this idea that we didn't need to be in church that much, but that's not how we were designed. The Bible's very clear in its teaching that we were designed to pursue our faith together. And there's a basic concept about pursuing this faith together, and it can be found in the book of Acts. We have a roadmap that's laid out for us. And that's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, Acts chapter 2. And here in Acts chapter 2, we find the birth of the church. And over 2,000 years later, here we stand today, and this roadmap is still our guide to use to determine what we're called to do each and every day. But we struggle sometimes because we get in our own worlds and we start negotiating these truths, and we start stepping out from that, and we think we can manage on our own, and we find ourselves in a pretty bad place. You see, God designed us a different way. We were designed to live in community with each other and to serve our Heavenly Father. We weren't designed to do this Christian life by ourselves. Now, before we jump in and see what's going on at the day of Pentecost, let's talk about the truth and power in the Word of God itself. The Word of God will change your heart. It's so powerful. It says in itself that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. God is able to put His Word inside your heart into places you're never the same again. Now, the Word of God's a great thing, but do you know what it needs? It needs a delivery system. The Word of God needs a delivery system. So I got a question for you, and feel free to raise your hands. We can interact a little bit here. How many of you have ever ordered anything from Amazon? All right? Probably everybody in this room, right? All right. How many of you in this room are Amazon Prime members? Right. You know what Amazon is? It's mail order. We don't really call it that anymore, but that's what it is. It's mail order. And mail order is nothing new. I mean, how many of you remember the Sears catalog? Or a Montgomery Ward catalog? Yes, I see some hands going up, right? Yes. I never ordered anything from those, but I have seen them, believe it or not. But I bet there's not a single person in this room that could tell me the first company that ever did mail order. Does anyone want to take a guess? No. It was Tiffany's. And they had what was called the Blue Book of Tiffany's. And it was in 1845. 30 years before Sears and Montgomery Ward even came on the scene. It's been around for 175 years. But mail order's certainly come a long way, hasn't it? In fact, it's come so far that big box stores, the brick and mortars, they're closing up shop. All because of the power of mail order. Let that sink in for a moment. Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, is now the richest man in the world. How did he do that? How did Amazon do that? You know, this company started in July of 1995 as an online bookstore. They evolved their concept. And now, more than 175 years later, they dominate the retail world. Now, they have a great selection, right? I mean, you can buy literally anything, unless it's this week and you're trying to order toilet paper, right? So, yes, but you can buy literally anything from them, but it's not just that. You know what it is. It's a delivery system. If you're an Amazon Prime member, right now, if you need dog food, if you have your smartphone and an app, you could probably order dog food before I get done, and it will be delivered to your house tomorrow for free. If you wait too much longer, it won't be, though, so just a heads up if you need to order dog food. But it's a delivery system. I mean, Christmas at my house, everything is in a box, right, that has an arrow on it. What does that arrow mean? Everything from A to Z, but that's the Amazon box. And if you're like me, and there's a lot of people like me in this world, you like to do Christmas shopping from the comfort of your own couch. I think I did most of my Christmas shopping over Thanksgiving break. I just sat there on my iPad and ordered stuff left and right. But it's convenient, right? Listen, when God gave us His Word, He didn't just give us this extremely powerful Word. He gave us a delivery system. And that delivery system enables the Word to penetrate our hearts. And one of the things that we see going on in Acts chapter 2 is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So you put apostles, and then you put teaching together. And it's not just the Word, and it's not just the authority, it's the delivery of the Word by that authority. You following me? Now, there's a great delivery system here that we're going to discover. And it has all different aspects to it. But the most perfect delivery system is the Word of God. And simply reading the Word of God. Just read the Word of God. You know why it's the best? It's because when you read the Word of God, it is God speaking directly to you. Now, there's nothing I can say up here today through illustrations or filters that's going to be more powerful than you just reading the Word of God. Because that's just God talking directly to you. Some of you may have caught yourself or you know someone that has said, I wish I could hear God. I wish God would speak to me. Just open your Bible and read. He has talked to you. In fact, He is talking to you. You just need to read His Word. It's perfect. But you see, that would have been a really big problem back in Jesus' time. Over 2,000 years ago, the literacy rate was about 1%. Most people couldn't read. So what did that mean? It meant the Word of God had to be communicated orally. A person couldn't just read the Word. And that's why Paul instructs Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. You see, this was the only way people could receive the Word of God. And Paul knew the power of the Word itself. People just needed to hear it. And when people hear the Word of God, amazing stuff starts to happen. And when we get into Acts chapter 2 here, you're going to see what Peter has to say. But we're going to take a look at the power of the Word of God. And I want you to listen to Peter as he addresses the crowd. And I'm going to read for a little while, so try to follow along. We're going to go from verse 14 to verse 41. But I want to remind you, there's at least 15 different nations represented here. And they all heard what Peter had to share with them in their own language, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's listen to what Peter says. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show the wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of the wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured by this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. I mean, that's powerful, right? I mean, you realize what was going on here. There were 11, right? 11 of them, 11 apostles. And then we see, right before the day of the Pentecost, there was about 120. And then Peter gets up and he starts talking to them and explaining to them what's going on. And 3,000 people raised their hand and said, yes, please, what do we need to do? And they accepted Jesus Christ. You see, Peter knew the power of the Word of God. And there's a purity to just hearing the Word or reading the Word of God, because it's God speaking directly to us. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit moves through His Word, through that delivery system, and He starts revealing things to you. Sometimes things we don't even want. So you may have heard this before. The best sermons you ever hear are the ones you don't hear. I know, stay with me for a second. Sounds crazy, right? But it's because what happens is when the minister's preaching, the Holy Spirit takes over the conversation. Has this ever happened to you? Maybe suddenly you're not listening to Ron anymore. No offense, Ron. Maybe you're not listening to me today, and that's completely fine. But you're having a dialogue with him. And a lot of times we don't even realize it's happening at first. Maybe things are starting to be revealed to you. And you're starting to understand things personally. And you're not listening to what's being preached on stage. You've taken an off-ramp, but it's the world's greatest off-ramp. Because that's when God really takes ground in your life. We want to be a people that are readers and listeners to the Word. We need to be devoted to that. We need to be devoted to the public reading of God's Word. We must understand our part in God's plan. Services should speak the Word. Sermons should be filled with the Word. You shouldn't hear a sermon that focuses on three words in the Bible. No. We need to be hearing the Word because there's a purity in that. It's God actually talking to us. And it has power. And we know that because Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The power of God is in His Word. And the Word of God has incredible power for your life and for my life. But there has to be a delivery system that works so that we can receive it. There's a story in Acts chapter 8. You may be familiar with it, I'm sure you are, about the Ethiopian eunuch. Right? He is on his way from Jerusalem back to his native land of Ethiopia. He's a very wealthy man. In fact, he's the treasurer of his entire country. And he's gone to Jerusalem to purchase a scroll, the scroll of Isaiah. And he's with his entourage, as we'll call it, and he's inspecting this scroll. I don't know if it went this way or that way, however it works in your mind. But he's inspecting the scroll and he's reading the scroll. And the Holy Spirit picks Philip up and he sets him down next to this guy and he says, Philip, I want you to hear what's going on. And I want you to get in a conversation with this man who's reading the Word of God. So let's pick up the story, Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now you know the story has an incredible ending. He tells him all about Jesus. He uses a scripture from Isaiah to tell him about how Jesus is the Messiah. And they're going along and the Ethiopian says, hey, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? You see, the Word of God spoke to him and he personalized it. Philip took him down into the water and he baptized him and they came up out of the water and the Spirit just caught him away. And it says that the Ethiopian went on his way back home rejoicing. You know he took that message with him. You see, we're in the very same situation today. You see, we have all these eternal truths of God, but sometimes we have a hard time understanding them. We have a hard time understanding how they go together. But Paul addresses this delivery system for us in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So let's put this in reverse for a moment. Preachers preach the word, right? Teachers teach the word. People hear the word. People believe the word, they call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and they're baptized and saved. Right? That's how it works. But let's not lose sight of what's really going on here. The delivery system is contained in the Word of God itself. We don't have to have any special words to say. All we need to do is reference the Word of God. We have to refer to it. We have to read it. We have to speak it. We have to share it. And that's why someone chooses to accept Christ as their Savior and gets baptized. It's not because of a preacher and their fancy words. It's because of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that has the power. There's a truth to preaching the Word of God, and that is that it's always going to get a response. It may not always move someone to accept Jesus right then, but it's at work. Now that's different than me standing up here and preaching my own opinion about something. Because I have one, you have one, everyone has an opinion. Who cares? But when you preach the word has power. And there's going to be that response. Let's look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. God's saying, when I give you the word, it is designed for a response, and it's the response that I've been looking for. And this response is not because of clever preaching. It's not because of entertaining preaching. It's because of the power of the word itself. You know, the Apostle Paul, which many would consider a great preacher, actually considered himself to be a pretty poor preacher. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:21. Listen to what Paul said about himself. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And later on in chapter 2, verse 1, he starts and says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Wow. I mean, what are we waiting for? Why can't we have the courage that Paul had? Now listen, I'm not saying that there's not a place for a good illustration or great stories. I'm not saying that at all. They aren't a waste of time. They can be great tools for preaching, in fact, and teaching. And the reason I'm telling you that is because the greatest preacher of all time was Jesus Christ. And he was a genius when it came to telling stories and giving illustrations. He was incredible. And you know why? It's because Jesus knew that illustrations and stories could be windows that people could look through to discover deeper truths that he's trying to relate. So if I was to ask you what Ron preached about 2 weeks ago, you probably couldn't tell me. No offense, Ron. It's just the reality of it. But if I was to share a little bit of a story that he shared with us, you could probably recite most of the story. Have you ever noticed how you're driving along in your car and you're listening to the radio and maybe a song comes on from a decade or two or three or some of you maybe four ago, right? You can remember every word of that song. Why is that? It's because of the story of the song or the melody of the song. You see, our minds are amazing things. We can remember stories and illustrations much better than we can remember these deeper truths. But these stories and illustrations connect us to deeper truths. And that's why they're necessary. Think about it. When Jesus was preaching, he would see things like, well, the kingdom of God is like... And then he would tell a story. Or he'd give an illustration. Can't you just see Jesus? Can't you just see him walking along the side of the road and he passes a stand and he hands a man a coin. He reaches down and scoops up some seed. He's holding the seed in his hand and he says, well, you know, the kingdom of God is like a man who broadcasts seed on the soil. And he throws some of the seed directly in front of him on a path. And all these birds swoop in and eat up all the seed. And he would say, the birds swoop down and eat up all the seed. And then he'll walk a little bit further and say, and when some of the seed goes out, it goes on this side of the path. And he threw it among some rocks. And then he would talk about how they couldn't get rooted. And then he'd say, maybe some of the seed would go over here, and it threw some of the seed into some thorny bushes. And then he'd come upon a well-tended farm. And he'd stand before the farm, and he'd hold that seed in his hand, and he'd say, and some of the seed, when it went out, it went on the good ground, the fertile soil, and it produced a harvest. He was just giving an illustration. He was just opening a window for people to understand the power of the Word of God. The kingdom of God is like a man who broadcasts seed on the soil. Or he'd say, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And maybe they were walking along and there was a mustard bush on the edge of a garden because that's where they were planted and there were birds going in and out of it because where their nests were built, and he tells that story. Or the kingdom of God is like a man who traveled far off to a country and he tells that story. Or maybe he's walked past a stand making bread and he says the kingdom of God is like a leaven in a lump of dough. Where it's like the merchant seeking fine pearls. And maybe he would come upon a shore. And he'd stand before the shore and there were fishermen off in the distance. And he would say, the kingdom of God is like a big fish net that goes out and it brings in all these different fish. That's great. You know, if you're telling a story or you're illustrating a story so a person gets a better bead on the Word of God, well, that's just great. But the problem is there's a lot of sermons today that are more stand-up comedy or more mass therapy session. They're more of a political platform or they're more family counseling. And I'm not saying that's not important, but only the Word of God can fill the needs that we have. You know, it's very easy for us to give in to the felt needs of the world and forget simply the power in the Word of God. We need that Word because that's what changes us. That's what changes a person. And that's why when preachers are ordained, going all the way back to when Paul ordained Timothy, they always read from the same passage. And it's always read with authority. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, and it starts in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is what I'm saying. It's the Word of God that we need. Because it's the Word of God that's going to change us. It's not something clever. Listen, we need truth, not lip service. We need light, not rose-colored glasses. We need holiness, not popularity. We need peace, not politics. We need joy, not junk. We need eternal things, not disposable things. We need a treasure in heaven, not trinkets. We need discipleship, not Google. We need good seed, not spoiled fruit. We need deep roots, not plastic plants. We need living water, not an empty cup. We need a good teacher, not a yes man. We need a cloud of witnesses, not an echo chamber. We need a divine purpose, not a distraction. And we need a life, not a coping mechanism. So we need to be preaching the word. Teach the word. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to share the word. That is what we're called to do. We've got to get to a place where we can get out of our comfort zone and be okay with it. Back in 2003, a group called Mercy Me wrote a song, and I know a lot of us remember the song, I Can Only Imagine. They've even made a movie out of it, but they also wrote another song. And it's incredibly powerful, and it's called The Word of God, Speak. And I want to share some of the words with you from it. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know that you are in this place, please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. The Word of God is spoken. His name is Jesus, and the Word of God is right there before us. I don't have it with me because I left it down there, but everyone that's got a smartphone, it's right there on your phone. In every language, in every translation, and it's free, by the way. And it's in your hand at all times. Let's face it, we're glued to those things in most cases. But it's got to be delivered. It's got to be delivered from the Bible, from your phone into your heart, and it's got to be delivered from your heart into other people's ears, into our community. So I got a promise for you today. And I think it's fitting that I'm able to make this promise to you today. But it's not just a promise I'm making, it's a promise that Lee is making, and it's a promise that Trevor is making, and I know it's a promise that Ron is making. As elders of this congregation of believers, anyone that's ever on this stage, they're going to preach the word to you. Because we need it. You need it, and I need it. We need it every single week, not 1.6 times a month. And there are thousands of people outside of these four walls that need it. Let's face it, it's been a tough week. Right? I think we can all agree. It's been a strange week. Right? Every single sporting event has been put on hold. Just about every single public gathering of any kind has said, we're not getting together anymore because they've been urged not to. You go to the grocery store, there's nothing left. I've been through a lot of snowstorms in my life. They've never looked like this, right? There's a lot of concern out there. A lot of people are really anxious right now because they don't know what's going on, and the media likes to continue to blow it up. There's some truths in there somewhere as to what's happening, but there's a lot of anxiety. Do you know what we need? Do you know what people need right now? They need the Word of God. They need the Word of God now more than ever. Because people are scared. People don't know what's going on. We've got a responsibility. We've got a responsibility to let that Word of God speak through us, into our community, whether it's with our coworkers, whether it's with the people we interact with, that you're running into at the grocery store and hopefully not fighting for toilet paper. But we've got a responsibility to let the Word of God speak. And that's what I want to encourage us to do today. Is to simply pause and remember that God's in charge and He's in control. And everything's going to be okay. Because we have treasure in heaven that's coming. We just need to let the Word of God speak through us. Will you stand with me? Father, this morning as we come before You and come before Your throne, Lord, I just pray that as we see all the mass hysteria and the panic happening not only in our country but all over the world, I pray that we hit our knees and come before Your throne. I pray that You help us to guide people to Christ, to help them see that You're in charge and everything's going to be okay. And Lord, for the individuals on the front lines, for the doctors and the nurses that are going to be caring for people, Lord, we pray for them and we pray for strength and we pray for protection for them. We pray for the leaders of our country that are making decisions. May they be able to set aside their political aspects and quit fighting with each other and simply have the words to share to calm people. And may they make the right decisions that are going to help us moving forward. May we not lose sight of the fact that the price has been paid and victory is Yours. Father, we just pray that You bless us this morning. We pray for Your protection on our family of believers here. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's any way that we can help you, if it's that you need to take a next step, maybe you haven't accepted Christ and the Word of God is speaking to you today, then do it. If there's something you have on your mind that you need to share, feel free to come down. We'll be happy to talk. Go ahead, Kevin.